CQ, 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 calling all radio amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is GB2RS, the news broadcasting service of the Radio Society of Great Britain. It's read to you by G4NJH in Nottingham, UK. Web references in the script can be found either on the RSGB website or attached to the podcast at gb2rs.podbean.com. This is GB2RS News for Sunday the 24th of May 2026. Here are the main news headlines. Volunteer at the RSGB National Radio Centre. Buy your RSGB 2026 convention ticket at 2025 prices. Tonight's date is back in June. The RSGB National Radio Centre at Bletchley Park welcomes thousands of people through its doors each month, and in 2025 it was recognised in TripAdvisor's Traveller's Choice Awards. Much of this success can be attributed to the amazing team of volunteers. They share a strong sense of pride, enthusiasm, and have a wonderful team spirit, all with the purpose of promoting amateur radio. If this sounds like something you'd like to be part of, the NRC is now looking for extra volunteers to join its team. If you enjoy meeting people and are able to work a minimum of 1 or 2 days per month, get in touch with the NRC coordinator Martin Baker, G0GMB, via nrc.support@rsgb.org.uk. Find out more about volunteering at the NRC by watching a short video on the RSGB's YouTube channel at youtube.com/therSGB and selecting the Volunteering for the RSGB playlist. The RSGB wants to make its convention as accessible to as many people as possible, which is why it's frozen the ticket prices, and you can buy this year's tickets at last year's price. This means you can make the most of the early bird pricing and buy your weekend ticket for just £49. On top of this, the Society has confirmed that, as usual, under-21s can attend the convention free. This week, the RSGB also announced further speakers to its growing programme. You can find engaging and informative presentations from Adrian Chuperka, KO8SCA, and on the 3Y0K, the expedition to Bouvet Island, as well as Christian Entsfellner, DL3MBG, on the DARC QSL Bureau and the cooperation with the RSGB. It's also confirmed that Ian Henry, G0LFT, will be delivering a lecture on understanding FT8 through DNA sequencing parallels, which was featured in the May 2026 edition of RadCom. Go to rsgb.org/convention to secure your ticket and guarantee your place at this not-to-be-missed event. The convention will be held at Kent's Hill Park Conference Centre in Milton Keynes between the 9th and the 11th of October. Following a break in May, the RSGB's Tonight at 8 series is back on Monday the 8th of June, with a fascinating webinar by John Warburton, G4IRN, on building a remote station. If you live in an area where restrictions such as conservation areas may limit your activity, this is for you. Following his move to rural Shropshire in 2020 and encountering conservation area restrictions, he decided to develop a fully remote HF contest and DX station. In this presentation, John outlines the search for a suitable site and the key technical and operational lessons gained from several years of remote operation over internet and 4G links. You can join the webinar live via the RSGB's YouTube channel at youtube.com/therSGB or at its special BATC channel at batc.org.uk/live/RSGB. Keep up to date with the latest programme by visiting rsgb.org under webinars. The RSGB board has announced further updates to the board liaison groups. Go to rsgb.org/board to view for the full list of responsibilities for each board director. RSGB members will be able to use this as a guide to help them know who to contact if they have questions, concerns or ideas about anything to do with the society. You can contact each board director via the email address shown by their name. The RSGB team had a very successful time at the Dayton Hamvention last week. They spoke to hundreds of attendees, signed a lot of new members, and were delighted by the very positive response to the RSGB app. Many radio amateurs haven't realised that as an RSGB member they can read Radcom Basics, Radcom Plus, and 25 years of back editions of Radcom all in one place, and were keen to sign up to membership as a result. Two AGM trophies were also presented in person by the President, Bob Beebe, GU4YOX, and the Board Chairman, Stuart Bryant, G3YSX. Look out for a fuller report in the July issue of Radcom. International Museums Weekend 2026, also known as Museums on the Air, takes place on the 20th, 21st, 27th and 28th of June. Venues from all over the world, including ships, castles and air museums, are expected to take part. More info and registration details, visit radio-amateur-events.org/IMW. Please send details of all your news and events to Radcom at rsgb.org.uk no later than 10 a.m. on the Thursday before the Sunday broadcast each week. Now for details of rallies and events, Durham and District Amateur Radio Society Rally takes place today the 24th at Bowburn Community Centre, Bowburn, County Durham, DH65AT. Doors are open from 10:10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. with disabled visitors gaining access at 10 a.m. The registration fee is £3. The entry fee is £3. There's a bring and buy sale, trade stand, special interest groups and RSGB bookstall. Catering available on site. More information, contact Michael Wright, G7TWX, on 07826 924192 or email dadars, that's D-A-D-A-R-S, at gmx.com. The Broadcast Engineering Museum had a day opening on Sunday the 7th of June. Is going to have a day on the 7th of June at 11 a.m. The museum is located at 41 Capper Avenue, Hemsworth Cliff, near Gainsborough in Lincolnshire, DN215XS. Museum is home to one of the largest collection of historic radio broadcasting equipment in the world. More information, go to becg.org.uk/events. Also on Sunday the 7th, Spalding and District Amateur Radio Society's annual radio rally takes place at the Spalding Rugby and Football Club, Centenary Park, Drain Bank, North Spalding, Links, PE12 6AF. Free car parking available on site. The entrance fee is £3. Traders Catering RSGB stall will be available. More details, visit sdars.org.uk/Spalding Rally. Now for the special event news commemorating the centenary of the passing of Antoni Gaudi, the famous Catalan architect and designer. Special call sign EH100AG is active until the 7th of June. Look for activity on various bands and modes and via the QO100 satellite. QSL via the Bureau, QSOs will be uploaded to eQSL Logbook of the World and Club Log. Special call sign LY100 Radio is active until the 12th of July, celebrating the 100th anniversary of regular radio broadcasting in Lithuania. QSL via LY2QT. Details of awards that are available, visit qrz.com. DX News, Paul MM0ZBH is active as 5Z4 stroke call sign from Kenya until Monday the 15th of June. He operates CWFT8 and SSB while volunteering at a local school. QSL via Logbook of the World and OQRS. Pascal F8NQV is active as CN2NQV from Sidi Rahi Chatai. Sidi Rahal Chati, it says there, apparently that's how you pronounce it, in Morocco. Until the 11th of July, look for him on 40, 20, 17, 15 and 10 metre bands on SSB. Contest news today, the 24th RSGB 10 gigs trophy runs 0800 to 1400 UTC. All modes on 10 gigs frequencies, exchanges signal report, serial number and locator. Also today, the 24th, the UK Microwave Group High Band Contest runs 0800 to 1700 UTC. All modes on the 5.7 and 10 gigs frequencies, exchanges signal report, serial number and locator. Tuesday the 26th of May, RSGB SHF UK Activity Contest runs 1830 to 2130 UTC, all modes on the 2.3 to 10 gigs frequencies, exchanges signal report, serial number and locator. Thursday the 28th, RSGB 80 metre club championship runs from 1900 to 2030 UTC, CW on the 80 metre band, exchanges signal report and serial number. CQ Worldwide WPXCW contest starts at 0000 UTC Saturday the 30th, runs until 23:59 UTC on Sunday the 31st. Using CW on the 60 to 10 meter bands where contests are allowed, the exchange's signal report and serial number. Now for the radio propagation report compiled by G0KYA, G3YLA, and G4BAO. They write, last weekend's geomagnetic disturbance didn't turn out to be quite as bad as predicted. A high-speed solar wind stream from a massive coronal hole and a coronal mass ejection caused the KP index to rise to 6.33 on Friday the 15th of May, but it subsided and we were soon back to more normal figures within the range of 2 to 4. Last week has seen more usual KP figures in the range of 2 to 3, which bodes well for HF propagation. Unfortunately, the solar flux index has been stuck in the low 100s, ranging from 109 on the 16th to 106 on the 20th, rose to 114 on the 21st, which may continue in the coming week. Meanwhile, ESA's solar orbiter has been monitoring solar activity on the far side of the Sun, which continues to feature a number of large sunspot groups. A number of C-class flares and one low-level M-class flare has been detected on the far side. We'll have to wait until next week for the activity to rotate to an Earth-facing position. Much of the activity on the higher HF bands is currently due to sporadic E, and Jim, G3YLA, reports several multi-hop paths showing up between Europe and the Caribbean and the USA on the 6-metre band. A quick check of the 10-metre band revealed only low-power beacons out of Spain and Andorra, unfortunately. NOAA predicts that the solar flux index may rise to 115 tomorrow the 25th, then increase to 135 by the end of the month. The start of the coming week should see settled geomagnetic conditions, but we are predicted to see a rise in the KP index to 4 on Wednesday the 27th. VHF and up, the recent lengthy period of indifferent weather has now changed to a predominantly high pressure type. This should last through to the end of the coming week when a possible return to unsettled weather edges up from the south. Starting with the large-scale pressure pattern, it will be a period of improving tropo conditions for VHF and UHF as the high builds over the country. Conditions should cover a large area across the North Sea and into the near continent. It's often the case that lift conditions may be improved by nighttime cooling and fade slightly in the day, unless over a sea path, which doesn't change much from day to night. The late May and early June period is a reasonable time for meteor activity, although this is mostly minor. Remember that there's still the tail end of the Eta Aquarids to work through this month. These solar conditions have offered up some reasonable coronal holes recently, and although the light evenings don't allow visual confirmation, the KP index going above 7 should make life more interesting for aurora. Needless to say, rain scatter will not feature in a predominantly high-pressure period of weather. Lastly, a thought about sporadic E, which is coming into full bloom now and is typically at a peak round about early to mid-June. There have been some successful openings on the 6-metre band with some multi-hop paths to the Far East and across to the States and the Caribbean. On the basis that jet streams may be useful indicators of where sporadic E is more likely, the coming week will see the main jet stream flow being pushed well north to a typical summer position from Iceland to Scandinavia. This might make paths to Scandinavia and the Baltic a good option, including northern multi-hop paths to the Far East. EME, now moon declination, is falling again, going negative tomorrow the 25th. Combined with increasing path losses, conditions will worsen as the week progresses, but there is still plenty of time to make some QSOs, albeit with shorter moon windows and lower peak elevation. 144 meg sky temperature is low but increasing to moderate by Friday the 29th. That's it from the propagation team for this week. Bank holiday for us on Monday in the UK, and I'll see you again next week.